I just saw a unicorn. A carry was called in the NBA. It was on Koulibaly. Tatum again going to work on Sarr. Welcome to the league, Rook.
That's the one where your friends call you. What's it like guarding Tatum?
What would you say is going to be different this year than last year to make you guys get that second ring?
I think having the same mindset of we approach every day the same. We just try to get a little bit better. We respect every opponent. We respected every practice day. And I think it paid off in the end. And, you know, it's going to be tougher this year, obviously. Human nature might play a part of, obviously, what we did last year and, you know, having to fight that. But, you know, I think we're on the right track.
Welcome back into WEEI. John Lyons alongside Chris Schein. And we spent the whole first hour being negative because we had to talk about the Patriots and the Bruins.
Woo, negativity.
So, yeah, so thankfully we have some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to spend some time now on the Boston Celtics. We're going to get to, you know, what do we think of the overall thoughts entering the season and going forward. But I want to spend a few minutes here. These first two games, the Celtics have hit the ground running. 132-109 over the Knicks on banner night. 122-102 over Washington the other night in a game that wasn't even that close. They have Detroit tonight. I mean, this is a team, Scheim. They've walked into this season feeling, I think, just as locked in as they were last June.
Maybe even more so, and for a different reason, right? Like, there's a different, there's a bit of an FU factor to the Celtics where it's like, people still don't believe that they're this good. They watched them wire to wire be the best team in basketball last year, and yet people still like don't think they're as talented as they clearly are. And I mean, you see it in the Olympics. Jason Tatum is basically a healthy DNP throughout half of the Olympics. Jaylen Brown gets snubbed from the team, doesn't even get to join them. Jaylen Brown shows up looking like a superhero at training camp. Like, it's just these guys have a mindset now where they feel like nobody believes in them and they've already done it. So it's like that weight, that monkey on your back of, oh, we got to get over the hump is gone. It is freeing. It is just like this relief that they have. And then on top of it, have an FU mentality because nobody believes that they can do it again. And it is like the perfect storm for the Celtics to destroy and by destroy, decimate the entire NBA.
And through two games, that's what happened. I mean, yeah. The Knicks, and I know the Carl Anthony Towns trade happened late before training camp, but this was the team. Everyone was like, Brian Windhorst said they're going to be the best starting five in the NBA. Yeah, didn't stand a chance. Celtics went after Carl Anthony Towns. They've done this without Porzingis through two games, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah, they're not going to get him back until like
Christmas
what, after
at best?
Christmas?
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly. So I think, too, because there's been a lot of talk, oh, you know, no NBA champion has repeated in the last 6 years, right?
So, no NBA team has been as good as this.
And I feel like, too, look at just over the last 25 years, the teams that have repeated, right? So you have the Lakers in the early 2000s, the Lakers in 29 and 10.
The Warriors team.
The Warriors in 17, 18, and then in between those Heat teams in 12 and 13. I never felt like those were two separate runs. And what I mean is that, like, those two Warriors championships felt like one long run with two titles in it. Yep. And that's kind of what this Celtics team feels like. And part of it is they re-sign their top 9 minutes guys from last year. So it's basically all the same
guys. It's the exact same team.
But look at opening night. 132-109. Jaylen Brown is great in that game. Tatum has 37-4-10.
Tatum's awesome.
Yeah, everybody outside of Pritchard was great in that game.
I mean,
and of course, Pritchard bounced back, and he's great against Washington game two. But that game was eerily similar to Game 5 against Dallas. I mean, to Game 5 against Dallas, they won by 18. They were dominant. Dallas really never had much of a chance in that game. And it felt like the Knicks, after the first 4 or 5 minutes, never had a chance on opening night. And it just felt like, to me, and I know, and look, the mentality is it's a new season. You got to turn over a new leaf. And Tatum is 100% right in his comments. You have to take it all one step at a time. But it feels like, not that they're starting afresh, that it's a continuation of what they did last April, May, and June. And I think that is what has made them look so good to start.
Like, I don't even know if you've seen the Celtics ceiling. Like, I still think they're
Ziggy's
building.
He's not even playing.
Well, yeah, but like, I just mean in general, from even the guys that are playing every night now, like, I think they're still taking steps forward. There's still even more room to get better, which is scary because this team was nearly unbeatable in that playoff run last year.
I mean,
they lost, what, three games?
Three total. And their net rating last year was 11.2, one of the best in NBA history.
Yeah. They went, 80-21 over the entire course of the season. Like, this team is just, They're so talented. They're without a doubt the best team in basketball. And yet somehow, some way, they're continuing to improve. Like, they're more efficient from three. Jason Tatum looks like he's a better shooter again. Like, it's just
that
hitch
point is
gone. Yeah, him and Drake May, all those reports of that Drake May hitch in the offseason, they clearly were working together. No hitches anywhere to be found from anybody. And Tatum, like, Wiggy has said this a couple times on our show in the morning, like, Tatum looks like he has a whole new bag of tricks. And he's ready to be, like, the centerpiece of one of the most dynamic offenses we've seen, maybe in NBA history.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they've come out so far this year. They're off, and it's two games. Their offensive rating is 130.3. Like, 130.3. And I know that's going to come down, but that's freaking nuts. 127 points per game. But their three-point percentage, 43.5%.
That's insane.
Like, obviously first in the NBA. But yeah, and sure, maybe that'll come down a little bit. But 43.5%. And you have Tatum, as you said, I think he looks like a better shooter than in previous years.
100%.
And it feels like the ball's coming out of his hand a little bit quicker,
yep,
which I think is going to help. Brown obviously looks great. But, like, even the other night against – and this might sound like not a big deal, okay, and being a green teamer, but Nemus Keita, 14 minutes, 12.7 rebounds. Like, that's your 10th or 11th guy.
Yeah.
And with Porzingis out, though, you're going to need him. You're going to need Tillman because you don't want Al Horford playing 35 minutes a game.
No.
You're going to need those guys. And, yeah, Washington stinks. I get it. But Nemus Keita, 14 minutes, 12 points. That's really valuable minutes, especially
and,
early
and
in the
against
year.
Bad teams, you're going to need valuable minutes from guys like that so that guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are more rested when those tougher opponents like the Bucks come walking in the door. What is that, Monday night?
Monday
like,
night, Indiana those, Wednesday.
Yeah, you need your top guys to be ready. And I think last year's playoff run really unlocked a different aspect of Jason Tatum in his ability to facilitate and his ability to create for others. Because I think, I want to say it was Brian Barrett had this stat after the last game for the Celtics. Like, Jason Tatum, or actually it was after opening night, Jason Tatum had shot all those threes and scored a ton. But then on top of it, like, half of his assists were for threes. And he created 24 points on his own.
I get paid a lot of money.
And it's that aspect of his game that I think is like, oh, like, this makes this team even more dangerous because they have five guys outside the arc. Any one of them at any time could go to the hoop and then kick it out, and then any of them could shoot a three. It is lethal from every angle.
And speaking of that, I mean, Tatum, game two of the finals, 12 assists. Game three, 11 assists. I mean,
yeah.
So he's upped his game in that aspect because, to me, he looks like a guy that can win MVP. And it's tough on great teams, but LeBron won MVP on those Heat teams. Like, it's possible to do.
Did KD win MVP on that one of those Golden State teams?
He was finals MVP. I don't know if he was
regular. Both times.
Yeah, he was finals
but
MVP.
But regular season came with Oklahoma City.
Got it.
That's right, because remember you said his mom, like, you're the real MVP or whatever.
Yes.
That was a speech. That was
great
in OKC.
Name. Yep.
Yeah, but, like, this Celtics team, again, I think, Shime, to me, in the last 2 years.
Oh, but Steph Curry was an MVP during that dynasty.
Okay, so point. You can have a guy on that team. I think the best the Celtics have looked, really, since they won the championship in 2008. Like, the single best basketball they've played was the Porzingis minutes in game one of the finals last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that team could have beaten probably any team in the last 25 years.
Easy.
That was amazing. And so, but we're talking about a team that then won multiple finals games without him, and now they've come back and they've started the year like this without him. Like, so that,
just
to me,
crazy.
Right, and I think when you think of where this team can go and how good they can be, I don't know if there's, and we're going to get into this in the next segment, I don't know if there's a team that can really get to their level. When they're playing like they did in game one of the finals against Dallas, I don't know if there's a team out there that can get to that level.
No one in the NBA is scared right now of the Boston Celtics.
I would disagree,
Even though Perk started picking them.
I think this is a great text, and it's a thought I had earlier from the 617. Are the Celtics just the best team of any of the four major sports right now? Like, they are.
It's tough to argue.
I think they are.
The Chiefs, right? The
but
Dodgers.
But even the Chiefs, I don't know that the Chiefs are the best team in football right now.
The Florida Panthers. Like, yeah, I mean, and it's all relative, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're more dominant than any team in any of the four sports.
Right? Yeah, like, that's how good this team is. They are the
Dodgers
best.
Dodgers need everyone. A walk-off last night.
Yeah. A walk-off granny.
That was so awesome.
First in World Series history, I believe.
Side note, that was fantastic. Like, and Mookie Betts with a big sack fly in the eighth. Wish the Red Sox could get a player.
If only they could have players like that. Yeah. But this Boston Celtics team is just, it's built so well. Brad Stevens, that swap from coach to GM was such a big question mark, and he has done nothing but prove prove it the right move.
KJ and I talked about this the other night. Every major move he's made has worked in that position. Because, right, so he brings in Derek White, home run.
Yep.
He brings in Malcolm Brogdon. It doesn't work long term, but he did win sixth man of the year and got hurt in the playoffs. You bring in Zingy, fantastic, right?
Drew Holiday.
Brings in Drew Holiday. And if you want to add in, promotes Mazzulla, but then brings in Sam Cassell, Charles Lee Van Gundy. Like, all those moves, even the Xavier Tillman move, which, like, I know that's not a big move. He had a huge shot in Game 3 of the Finals last year. Like, or Brad's first move, shipping Kemba Walker out and bringing Al Horford back.
Yeah.
Home run. And I'm not saying Brad's been infallible there, but he's probably the best GM in the four major sports right now.
Yeah. Especially in this city, I mean, without a doubt.
Or John Lynch with the 49ers. I mean, he's
but even like John Lynch
there.
Has had a lot of help from Kyle Shanahan in building that team.
But he's, and if you want to say Howie Rose, like, they've built some wagons, so I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it's like, and Tatum and Brown were here already. But, I mean, you trade Rob Williams and Brock, and you get Drew Holiday.
Get Marcus Smart out of here.
And that was a ballsy move. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of this because Jaylen Brown has ascended a little bit leadership wise.
Very much so.
Since Smart left. But we're going to get into coming up. All right. We just ball watched the Celtics for about 11 minutes. Is there a team that can challenge them? Is there an issue that we're looking for that, hey, maybe this could get in their way? We'll see because, you know, maybe there is. But first, it's time to trend with Joe Braverman.
And now to those guys, what were they, did they do anything different that you saw on the perimeter to get those open looks?
I don't know. NBA needs a drug test all of them, I'll tell you. Because that was, I ain't never seen nothing like that before, man.
That's the same thing they say about the Lions and Shine show back here on WEEI.
Damn right.
Never what, did they need to like drug test you?
And they've never seen anything like us.
Right? Yeah. We're a unique bunch.
Yeah. No disagreement, right?
None.
Back here on WEI, though, it is Lions and Shine with Joe Braverman producing. Joe, how are you, by the way?
What's up, fellas? Halfway through, I'm feeling good.
Halfway through, that's right. We'll be here till 3 o'clock. And we've spent a lot of time complaining about the Patriots and Bruins, but we started this hour talking Celtics. We're going to continue that here because we kind of hit on something, Shine, in the last segment I wanted to continue, and that is the idea of this being a continuation where they blow through the playoffs last year, beat the Mavs in 5 games, and they come out, and it doesn't look like the start of a new season, even though it is. It looks like they're picking up where they left off. And I think a big part of this reason is, looking back on it, for an NBA champion, not really the best summer, if you think about it.
It was a mess of a summer, right? Like, it was between the Jason Tatum goes to the Olympics, doesn't play, and Jaylen Brown kind of like, you know, is
left off the team.
Yeah, left off the team and his disgruntled behavior in regards to that and Porzingis needing to get surgery and all that stuff. Like, it wasn't a great offseason. Not comparably to other years, but at the same time, they came back and it just hasn't mattered.
But I think that's helped, too. Like, the fact that they had an offseason. And
it's driven them.
And think about it, you're here every day.
Yep.
What was the biggest talking point in the NBA over the offseason?
It wasn't a great summer. It was a great summer, but it wasn't a great summer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very, very poetic. It was, I don't know, like the acquisitions by the Knicks.
Exactly. Like, it was the Knicks. That was the biggest. Mikal Bridges, like, oh my God.
So overrated.
Like, and then, of course, the Karl Anthony Towns thing later. But the big, and think about this, right? The Bucks win the title in 2021. And granted, that was in July because the COVID finals were later. But everyone spends the rest of the summer worshiping at the altar of the Bucks. 2022, the Warriors win it. And it's, oh, Steph's back, the Warriors all summer. 2023, the Nuggets win it. We heard all summer, Jokic is the best player in the NBA. This is the best team. They can repeat this, that, and the other thing. Celtics win it. We hear nothing
Mom's
like that.
Mom's the word.
Nothing like that. I mean, and then Windhorse is saying, oh, the Knicks could have the best starting five and the best offense in the NBA.
The Knicks are
like,
fetch.
That's nuts.
Yeah, were you a Mean Girls guy?
Yeah, I usually wear pink on Wednesdays.
The Knicks are fetch. They're trying to make fetch happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to work.
And look, it's probably a good thing for the league if the Knicks are good, right? Okay, we all get it.
Yeah, their father isn't the inventor of Toaster Strudel, but they do have Karl Anthony Towns.
And let's look at, okay, week one of the NBA season. Celtics have the primetime banner night game.
Yep.
By the way, they cut to commercial during the banner raising.
That's a whole different story.
But the Celtics TNT. Have one national TV game week one. The Mavs, in fairness, have one national TV game, I think, week one. The Lakers get 3.
Suns, it's LeBron.
The Suns get multiple ones. I think
Kevin
the Knicks
Durant.
Had 2 or 3. But that's the point, right?
It's like, dumb.
You have the team, the best team in the NBA, And that's the way they're looked at and they're treated. And maybe now people are coming around to it after they smoked the Knicks.
But at the same time, like, don't you look at it and go, oh, maybe these TV people were right. If they put them on national TV, it's just a 20-point blowout. And nobody wants to watch that.
And that's fair. But I even look at the schedule makers. Like, so you schedule them the Knicks game one. Like, what, that Bucks game Monday night, like, that could have been Friday. They could have been on ESPN second time. And, you know, whatever. But, like, point being, I think it's actually, in a weird way, been a very good thing for the Celtics because you have Tatum coming in, being disrespected. I mean, this guy, 3 years in a row, first-team All-NBA, and you couldn't find him minutes against South Sudan in the Olympics. Yep. Jaylen Brown, look, all due respect to my dog Devin Booker in Phoenix, Jaylen Brown's a better player than him. He gets on the Olympic team. Jaylen Brown doesn't. Like, and forget about the White and Holiday thing, but he's better than those guys. But, okay, fine, you want to tell me role players, this and that? He's a better player than Devin Booker.
Yeah, and it feeds into that FU mentality that the Celtics team is carrying, and they're just, they're better for it, right? It's like
vibes.
They keep getting disrespected, and I think it's going to carry over into the MVP voting. Like, I don't think Tatum's going to win MVP just because the narratives here are that, oh, yeah, like, the Celtics team is just
they're
a Ferrari.
So it's like Joe Mazzulla, coach of the year.
Yeah.
He won't win it because they're so good.
He might not even get votes.
Yeah.
But it's because the rest of the team is so talented.
And
I felt like an idiot not playing him.
Yeah, you were, Steve. But it's crazy to me in that this is a team. They win a title. They blow through the playoffs, come back. And there's vibes to me of this, of like the 07 Patriots. Like, we don't just want to win.
Let's light the world on fire.
Yeah, we don't just want to win.
Like, do you think the regular season record's in play?
Was 73, you know,
it's 73-9.
Yeah, it's crazy. The 16 Warriors, by the way, a team that lost the finals, though. But my thing, it's funny. I was watching opening night, and one of the things I thought of was, this is a team that can win 70 games.
Yeah.
Like, really. And at that point, if you win 72, you win 73, you know, 70.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
But, and it's cool to have that record, don't get me wrong. But they won 64 last year. They feel better than last year. They still don't have Porzingis. And I was one of those people, and I was thinking about this over the summer. I was like, maybe they'll come out and struggle. Not struggle, but have their foot off the gas a little bit because you don't have Porzingis.
We talked about this.
Yeah, you don't want to overwork Horford. You know, you have guys that played in the Olympics, like Holiday. You want to manage him. It was a long summer for Tatum. Maybe they'll come out and take it a little bit easier the first few months. So maybe, like, my thought process was, maybe around Christmas, they'll be the 3 seed. And then they'll turn it on when Zingy gets back in January, and they'll end up, you know, being the 1 seed, right? This looks like a team that they came in and said, no, we're going to be the best team all year long. Do something about it.
Yeah, I feel like they are on a mission. It doesn't feel like, you know, so we had it with the Bruins a couple years ago, right? But that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, going into that season, nobody expected the Bruins to be the best regular season hockey team in NHL history. Like, nobody expected that. Whereas the Celtics are coming off an NBA championship. They were wire to wire the best team in basketball last year. And through two games, look like they are a level above everyone else across the NBA, not just in the East. And I think that's the other thing, too, is, like, I think the better teams outside of the Celtics are in the West. Like, I don't feel like there's a ton of competition in the East. And so I think there's an opportunity that the Celtics just beat up on a ton of teams, especially over the first half of the season. And then, like, you know, if you're crushing it by the new year, it's like, oh, maybe we go for the record. Maybe we really show everybody that we're the greatest team to have ever lived. We get the record and we win the title back-to-back years. Like, that to me would put
that
Jason
puts you
Tatum
in, like, Chicago Bulls territory.
Yeah, that puts Tatum and Brown in territory that is almost untouchable.
Kobe and Shaq in the early like, that's the neighborhood you're in.
Yeah,
which is
all-time greats of the sport. And I think that's what they look for. That's what they want. They don't care. Like, as much as Tatum would love an MVP, I think he would rather that being one of the all-time greats already in his eighth year in the league than an MVP.
Yeah, and we're talking about a Celtics team that, weirdly, they've won 17 or 18 titles, and the last time they went back-to-back was 1968 and 69. So it's funny. It's been a while. And Scalabrine mentioned something on the broadcast the other night against Washington where, when you're beating teams like this, it also helps your load management because Jaylen Brown,
Peyton Pritchard's playing 20 minutes.
Exactly. The other night, Jaylen Brown played 30 minutes. Every other starter was under 30.
Yeah.
Like, so you, like, that helps your
great
load management.
Great night to bet the Tatum unders, by the way.
No kidding, right? But you hit on something about the West because I want to talk about that. When I look at teams that I think can beat this Celtics team, the first two, maybe the first three, are in the West.
It's OKC, Denver, teams like that.
Maybe Phoenix, if Budenholzer goes there and gets
them
rolling.
But I'm not
even
convinced.
Then, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. But like,
I'm not sold on Phoenix.
And look, I think Philly, if Philly was healthy, they could be a threat to the Celtics because Embiid's an MVP-level player. Maxey's an all-NBA guy. Paul George is not elite, but he's still good.
Yeah, you and I are on different sides of this. To me, Philly feels like the Steelers during that Patriots run where anytime they meet in the playoffs, the Patriots just roll them over.
And that's maybe fair, and maybe I'm overrating them, but the key for me, I look at Nick Nurse because he's a guy, he won a championship with a quickly assembled team in Toronto. Like Kawhi came in and they won right away. So maybe George can come in. But again, it's week one, and those guys aren't healthy already.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George has, like, a knee bruise, and Joel Embiid is, like, load management because he worked too much in the offseason. Like, what are we doing?
82 games, man. Come on. I'm not actually saying, but come on, man. You're already telling me you're not going to play back-to-backs?
Yeah.
Like, but then you look at the Knicks, and the Knicks are going to be better than we saw on opening night. But
but they're never going to be good enough to beat the Celtics in a 7-game series.
And a sneaky fun fact, man, Porzingis is a better post player than Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Towns is a little bit of a better shooter, but Porzingis is a better post player. Your team top to bottom is just flat out better than them.
Yeah, it's like the only guy on the Knicks that really scares you is Brunson, and he might steal a game for the Knicks. Like, he might just drop 55 on your face and, oh, well, okay, we lose game three, but then you come back, you win game four, and the series is over. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, and what the Knicks did with Karl-Anthony Towns to me was just trying to answer Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at their numbers, they both average about 20 points a game. Towns shoots like 4% better from three, so he's a little better. But Porzingis was seventh best in the NBA in points per possession on post-ups last year.
Yep.
Like, we know the shot blocking, right? Like, all that. He's a better defender on the pick and roll, which you know teams in the playoffs are going to hunt you on, especially like a team like Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's one, if Giannis and Dame are healthy, that team could frustrate the Celtics, but do I see them beating them four times out of seven?
Nope.
And same with Indiana. The crazy thing is last year, Indiana, to me, Celtics swept them. That was their toughest series.
Yeah.
Three of those four games.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown had to hit that last minute three. And like
Derek White hit in game four, won the series in the last minute on a three. Like those game three, you were down by 18 and you had to come back and win. So that was their toughest series. And I like, there's a lot to like about Indiana and Cleveland too. But I don't sit here, I'm like, are they going to beat the Celtics four times out of seven?
Yeah, and I also look at it too, like last year for the Celtics in the regular season, I don't want to say struggled because they never really struggled, but their worst performances were on the road, right? They lost 14 games on the road last year, but then you go through the playoffs and they were undefeated on the road.
Yeah.
I think that for them is another mental thing where coming into this season, it's like, all right, we lost four games at home last year. We can afford to lose like four games on the road. And then, like, that's it. And they're just 27-4, whatever the math is, 30-4, 28-4. I forget the math.
Yeah.
But they're
point
just,
being.
Yeah, yeah. They're just dominating at home and on the road. And they're just the same team no matter what arena they're in. And I think that to them, I mean, that's just another level that they could go to that is unprecedented.
And that's another piece of this, right? Because they're really good, but they've been really good for 3 or 4 years now. What feels a little different is they know in the back of their minds, okay, we can do it.
Yeah.
Like, we've done it before. Because you look at some of those, like you mentioned, undefeated on the road in the playoffs. But Cleveland, Tatum had back-to-back 33-point games on the road. Huge part in that series. Dallas, game three in Dallas. Oh, sorry, they had one loss on the road, game four in Dallas. But game three in Dallas, like, they went down to the wire, and Jaylen Brown hit a jump shot to put them up by four. Like, they went there and at nut-cutting time on the road in the NBA Finals, and they won a game.
Yeah.
So now they know, hey, we can do this. And I think that is a huge layer to this. And I look at it, and again, not to disrespect the East, I just don't see any of those teams beating the Celtics four times out of seven, barring injury.
No, I don't see any of them. Like, the only one to me that I really was like, oh, that would be a really good 7-game series is the Thunder. Like, I think the Thunder are awesome.
OKC,
I think they're really, really
Denver.
Good. Again, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander could just take a game over. He is so, so talented. That's the guy that's probably going to win MVP this year. He also includes everybody on his team. They got Hartenstein this offseason. He's not healthy right now, I don't think, but he's going to...
He'll be.
Yeah, he'll be good for them. Chet Holmgren's another year in. Like, he's going to be good for them. That team is going to be really, really talented offensively and defensively. And so, like, that to me would be a tough 7-game series. The other team, too, that you mentioned to me off the air is a team like the Magic. Like, in a 7-game series, the Celtics are better than the Magic. Don't get me wrong. But the way they play, the defensive mentality that they have, like, that would be a grindy series.
I agree. That would
pretty
be
big,
like a,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge. And I would agree with you. I would say that would be one of those, like, 6-game series, but 5 of the 6 games are within 10 points. Like,
yeah,
it's a
absolutely.
Hard fight.
Like, the Celtics don't blow them out once.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They lose twice, and their 4 wins are at least 3 are really close.
Yeah.
Maybe 4. I agree. And, like, Oklahoma City, to me, The Celtics went there the first week of January last year, fully loaded, and lost.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to play. That team reminds me of the Celtics, like, kind of when they had Kyrie, and not Kyrie was a problem, but, like, Tatum and Brown were these young ascending guys, and you had Marcus Smart, this young ascending guy. We didn't know how it was going to work out, but you could kind of feel it, like, ooh, these guys have something. Or even if you want to compare it to the Thunder that went to the finals 12 years ago with Durant, Westbrook, and Harden, like, SGA is a top five player in the NBA.
He's awesome.
And Chet Holmgren could win Defensive Player of the Year. Like, that's a great team that plays really fast. Their pace, I forget their pace numbers. I think they're one or two in the league in pace. They're going to come at you. That's the team I look at as if the Celtics got to the NBA Finals, which I think they should, that would be them and Denver, the only two teams I'd be like, I'd still pick the Celtics, but I'd be like, this is going to be real. This can come down to the wire.
And that's the beauty of them being in the West too, is it's like, there's a chance, just like last year, you don't even have to face them. Yeah. You don't have to face the Timberwolves. You don't have to face the Nuggets. You don't have to face the Thunder, and you get Dallas again.
And at worst,
you just stomp on them.
At worst, you're only going to have to face one of them.
Yeah.
Like, at worst.
That's the best part.
And Denver, to me, like, Denver's the only team that swept the Celtics last year. They won both games, close one at home, close one on the road. But in back-to-back years, okay, they lose Bruce Brown. They just don't feel like, they still have Aaron Gordon and Jokic and Murray. They're still elite, but they don't feel as big and bad as they did
maybe this
time.
They don't feel unbeatable like they did
last year. They kind of felt that way.
Yeah,
they
really absolutely
did. In Minnesota, I don't know. Like, they beat Denver, and I know they lose to Dallas, but it felt like they were just kind of arriving, and now they make a huge trade. And I love Julius Randle there for them. I think he brings an edge, but he's had health issues. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, like, I look at Denver and OKC as the teams that if the Celtics played them in a finals, I'd pick the Celtics, but I would be concerned because those teams are elite. But that's it. Those are the two teams in the West.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the Celtics team. Like, so expectations are you have to be in the finals this year. Again, like, I don't think there's any doubt.
Do you think we're disrespecting Milwaukee? Like,
no.
It is Giannis and Dame.
No.
They're good.
Yeah, but it hasn't looked great. Like, there were reports, too, that they didn't work out at all this offseason, which is not good. Like, that's not what you want from your two star players. Dame is just also another year older. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't buy the Bucks. I don't think the Bucks could beat you. They might steal a game or two, but I don't think they could beat you in a seven-game series.
Yeah, I mean, if Giannis,
they don't got the depth.
Yeah, that's right. That's the thing.
Middleton's always hurt. Like, it's just,
like, even if you wanted to tell me Giannis was the best player in that series, which, by the way, could be in doubt by the time we get there. But let's just say
Al Horford historically has done a good job guarding him as well.
And, but it's like, then, okay, what do you have the next five?
Yeah.
Like, or like if even if you say Giannis is one, like, okay, I take then Tatum, then Brown, maybe then Dame, and then Porzingis, Holiday, White, Hauser, like all Horford. Like, so you have seven of the top nine guys in the series, and it's close. So, yeah, I hear you. But, okay, 40 minutes of positive radio on the Celtics.
Let's go Celtics. We'll NBA champs 2025.
We'll see if we can keep it going, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons alongside Chris Schein. Schein, I was just saying, nice to do radio with you again.
It's great, man.
It's been almost 2 months.
Yeah, it's been a minute for us. I've been doing a lot with Fitzy on the weekends, and then Arcand and Mego every Sunday morning, which is nice, and then, of course, on the Greg Hill Show every day, but it's nice to get back in the studio with you, bud.
I know. You're 7 days a week here. You're going nuts.
Yeah, man, we're grinding. We're out here just, you know, anytime the boss man needs me, I step up when I can and help out as much as I can, you know?
Just
get
like
the
Tom
reps,
Brady.
Baby.
It's about heart. It's about honor.
Keep grinding.
Yeah.
That's the job.
My whole barometer of success is as long as I don't get a text from Ken just saying, leave the studio now, I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good.
That's a good barometer for success.
That's good.
I want to ask you, though, because one of the cool things, by the way, obviously, this is me ball washing a little here. The Greg Hill Show over the past month or so, highly entertaining.
I appreciate that, man.
And I've been listening to the Greg Hill Show for years. It's always been good. I feel like you guys are in a freaking zone.
Maybe
it's because you had puppies in studio.
That was great. Pudge's Pals on Friday, high-rated segment. Everybody loves it. You know, we had Chuck in this week. He's a blind dog. If you want to rescue Chuck, it's up on the Greg Hill social media pages. You can also go to your local animal shelter and rescue a pup they need, because they need homes too.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, you going to do the Jingle All the Way 5K?
That's my plan. I did it last year. I walked it last year. Probably going to just, you know, walk it, light jog it again this year. Nothing crazy, you know?
My wife and I are thinking of signing up to do
it. Nice. It's a good time.
Yeah. And should make a bet with each other who finishes first.
Well, she just ran the Chicago Marathon, so she's
I would lose that.
She's going to beat all.
She would be the heavy favorite.
Yes. Yeah, actually, so what would that put her at? Minus 8,000 to beat us or something?
Yeah, probably. What would the line be? Like an extra, like 25 minutes?
Yeah, okay, 25 minutes I might take. Okay.
Yeah. That's because like I think I finished last year in like because I just walked it.
Yeah.
So just under an hour. I want to say it was like 54 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. My wife and I did a 5K actually at Barrel House Z, good brewery,
nice.
In August. And I was just right at 30 minutes. I'm trying to get under 30. 2 years ago, I was 30.01.
Ooh.
And this year, I was like 30.13. I was like,
I'm not a big runner.
I don't love it. I do it more to stay in shape. That's honestly why I do it.
I walk. Like, I walk with the dog a lot and stuff like that. But I would rather lift than run. I'm just not a big cardio guy. Never have been.
Fair enough.
You know, playing sports, it was a bugaboo for me.
And the Jingle All the Way 5K looks fun, though. So I might sign up for that. We'll see.
It's a good time. And a nice little party afterward as well. It's a grand old time.
You know what we should do is Jingle All the Way 5K and have Lions and Shime broadcast live afterwards.
I would love that. We
Let's
did that actually.
Ken.
Oh, it's more entertaining if you broadcast while you're doing it.
I would just die.
Let's talk about these Patriots.
Yeah.
Week 14.
Well, actually, because it was not last
year. It's their bye week.
Last year we did it in the city, but 2 years ago we did it up at Cisco Brewing, I think it was, up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And, we and Curtis and I did the Ken and Curtis show live from
That's
the Jingle
awesome.
All the Way 5K. Yeah, yeah.
So
which
you know
is
what?
A lot of fun.
Let's talk to Ken. Maybe let's do that.
Hey.
I'll sign up and run it. You and I can do a show after.
I'm always down to do there shows, man. I'm always around.
That's true. We're always around.
Well, that's my thing. Like, that's
we have minimal social lives. Shime and I are always around.
Yeah, because I'm either here or I'm playing video games or like hanging out with my girlfriend and my dog. Like it's not like I would do a whole lot.
I actually did go to a Halloween party last night.
Ooh, how was that?
It was good. You want to know what I dressed up as?
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
You dressed up as Bernie Kosar.
Wow. That is I never would have guessed that in 1,000 years. I love that.
Were you Gru from the Minions?
No, I dressed up as a Dodgers fan so I could root for a team in the World Series.
A Dodgers fan?
I literally just wore a Dodgers hat. I'm not a big Halloween guy. But yeah.
Man.
I dressed up.
So like,
my wife dressed up as Mudang, and that was a big
Mudang.
Hit.
That's
that
a good
was
one.
A huge
That's
hit.
A great. You should have dressed up as a little penguin then. What's a penguin? I think it starts with an F, like Flock or something.
Last year we were Linda and Bob Belcher. That was good.
Great
that
one.
That was a big hit.
Bob's Burgers, great
Love
show.
Bob's Burgers.
Last year, so we dress up on the Greg Hill show like during the morning, but I haven't gone to a Halloween party in quite some time, but last year I dressed up as an anime character from the Akatsuki
okay.
in Naruto.
I'm not familiar, but okay.
Nope. Yeah, a lot of words that probably nobody knows, but that's okay. it's a personal thing, and I enjoy it a lot. So there you go.
Hey, yeah, but no, I was a Dodgers fan for Halloween.
Nice.
So I got to root for a team in the World Series. By the way, World Series, what an ending last night.
Crazy.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that a little later because we were talking off air, BC football. I want to spend a few minutes on them because, and this whole thing started with me ball washing you and the Greg Hill show.
Mm.
But one of the things that I think is cool in the Greg Hill show is every week you have Bill O'Brien on.
Awesome.
And I think it's a great interview every week. And 2 weeks in a row, he's come on and he's talked about, hey, we really emphasize with the team this week, you know, being ready, being on top of things. And it feels like they come out against Virginia Tech and they're not really fully ready to go. Virginia Tech gets up on them big. They come out in this game last night against Louisville, they get up 27-10. I think they were up 20-0 early in the game.
Yeah.
And 31-27 loss. They get outscored 14-0 in the fourth quarter, really faded down the stretch. I mean, look, they're 4-4. They beat Florida State week one. Turns out Florida State's bad.
They are bad.
Look, it feels like they're on the right path here, Sean, with Bill O'Brien. But it also feels like the Virginia game a few weeks ago and then the game last night are two games they should have won and they didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's going to happen with a first-year head coach in a program that's just simply not that great. Like, BC football just hasn't been awesome over the last couple of years. And they're better now because of Bill O'Brien, and they're moving in the right direction. But they still have a long way to go, right? I don't know that Castellanos is going to be a Heisman candidate anytime soon. Yeah. And so they do have a lot of talented players, though, especially a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball. They're always going to have a talented offensive line because BC has just been good at churning out good offensive linemen for years. And I think that will continue. And as Bill was, he's got a lot of great guys around him. He's got like former NFL guys like Doug Marrone in the building and Rob Chudzinski. Like, he is building something good there. And yeah, it doesn't look great right this second. They blew that lead last night, 20-0, and then 27 to 10. Yeah. So like, that's tough. But at the same time, like, they're moving in the right direction. Is it upsetting? Yeah, but there's hope there.
Shime, do you know why? Also, you should have confidence.
I'm on Shime Island.
Yes, that's right.
I remember
Bill O'Brien is on Shime Island. That is very true. So anytime I say anything, just remember Bill O'Brien agrees.
That's true. I'm just going to let that hit.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah. Yeah, so when people question me about Drake May, just know Bill O'Brien agrees.
Yeah. I'm just going to let that hang for a minute. Okay, so, and here's the last time BC was actually good was 2007. Okay, so it's been 17 years. I get it. It feels like they're on the right track, but again, I feel like these games are those little missed opportunities, right? Because if you hang on and beat Virginia a few weeks ago, you win this game, all of a sudden you're 6-2 instead of 4-4.
Yeah.
And it's just a different story to be 6-6. And look, I know it's the RFD 4-4.
And in the conference, too, you have a better record.
And then you have a chance. Like, they're not going to beat Clemson or Miami, but you have a chance that maybe you're in that neighborhood of the ACC championship game or maybe that third team there and you get a good bowl game. I mean, they're off this week. That game against Syracuse on November 9th is a big game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really big game for BC in this program.
Yeah, and it's kind of upsetting, too, the games, especially against Virginia and Louisville, especially after that awesome game against Missouri, a really talented football team that you hung in against. You really kind of kept it close, and you battled hard, and you just couldn't come away with the victory. But it was like, oh, okay. Like, they can compete with, you know, the cream of the crop in the SEC. There's a chance here. And then things have since kind of fallen to the wayside a little bit, and I'm hoping that Billy O kind of rights the ship here at the end of the season.
And this is a 5-2 Syracuse team in a couple weeks. Again, they just got blown out by Pitt the other night. But I look at a game like that, and BC's at a point where if they're going to build this program, Bill O'Brien's talked about it on your guys' show, they're not going to be huge in the transfer portal. It's going to be mostly high school kids with maybe some grad transfers to augment it. If you lose games to Louisville and then Virginia, and then if you lose to Syracuse, well, high school kids, especially in the Northeast, they're getting recruited by Pitt, by Syracuse, by schools like that, by Virginia as well. Maybe they start picking those schools instead of BC. Again, that's why I feel like this Syracuse game, look, they're 4-4. They win their 5-4. Yay. But I think it's a big game as they try to build their program because those high school kids look at it and say, okay, you're ahead of Syracuse. You know, you're ahead of some of these teams. Because right now, like, Louisville just came in here again and outscored you 17-0 the final 20 minutes or whatever it was.
Tough. You put yourself in a bad position. It feels very much like that that Patriots-Seattle game, right? Like, we had multiple opportunities, just put it away, and you just couldn't.
Yeah, and that's so it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to Bill O'Brien on your show this coming week because it feels like what they've done to prepare the last couple weeks, it hasn't worked, right? You come out slow against Virginia Tech.
Well, they started fast this week.
But then you fade. Yeah. Right. So maybe they're just trying to find that balance there. But again, it's something. Look, if you get a good bowl game, like you beat Syracuse, you have a good final stretch of the season, and I'm going to be at the BC Syracuse game.
Okay.
So you really got to
flex.
You know, I'm going to be there. Come on. But if you get a good bowl game, all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe Bill O'Brien's onto something here.
Yeah.
And maybe kids, and maybe some of those grad transfers, okay, maybe that's a place I want to be. So I think it's a, again, big bye week coming up for BC, and then a big game against Syracuse after a really, to me, frustrating loss the other night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they finish out the season here. I'm hoping the best for my guy, Billy O.
Yeah, but hey, BC still has three more wins than the New England Patriots.
Yes, they do.
So we're going to get back to, we started the program talking about the Patriots.
We're going to go back to being negative again? Is that where we're going here?
We might have to be. I don't know.
All right, well,
you know
we
what?
Let's find
a couple positives.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's lower the bar. Not on the radio show, just for the Patriots.
No, yeah, just for the Patriots.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.